Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Was you just eating a pixie stick?
Yes.
We are finding joy wherever we can right now, Jeff.
No, every once in a while I go through phases where I go through these, like, they're basically kid crack, but I really do eat. I go through it, like, it's like, it's been a couple years, but it happens every couple years. All of a sudden I get a craving for them, and I there's a, like, a chunk of time where I'll just have them randomly on stash.
Yeah. I'll cop a little pack of Now Ladies every now and again.
Right now, my shit is the little Italian ice cups.
With the spoons, the
What do they call? No, it's not Martinelli's. It's apple.
I feel that shit on my tongue right now.
Well, I was just in Philly, and in Philly it's Rita's, but here it's Mariano. Is it Mariano?
Mariano's or something like that.
We got
Reed's
in Jersey.
Substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah. The joints were like
at the
bottom.
Brooklyn
had the little Peruvian lady.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
And then on the bottom of the cup would be like the little icy part way down at the bottom.
Yes.
You gotta flip it over.
Come on, B. That's what you eat. You gotta flip it over. Scoop around that edge. Flip that motherfucker over. You know? All right, let's get it going.
Oh, we gotta
read. I'm gonna tell Justin to keep that.
Oh, yeah, keep that part in, Justin. Start from the icy part. From the pixie stick part.
Pixie stick.
Pop Life Podcast today is,
it's the 6th.
Okay, I was going to say the 7th. Okay, so I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, I only know because I'm doing the Black Music Month Challenge, so I knew it's
Oh, that's right. That's right. I saw your music sermon post.
I don't know what it is about this year. The challenge is jumping this year. It's crazy.
The prompt is
again.
So
people want to find joy. People want to find joy in
where they can.
Where they can. So, like, if they, you know, thinking about old music that they love, and come on with it, you know.
Well, you guys are the ones that said everybody's only listening to catalog, so this is perfect.
Yeah, I mean that's what the analytics say. They say catalog is. It's big now, you know, in the new, and you see the newer records are not sticking, but I mean, well, some are.
But the charts
they changed the chart rules too about 2-3 months ago.
Oh, again? So what?
But I'll send it to you because it's kind of hard to explain. I'll send you the screenshot.
Because saying that all these songs, not to cut you off, but Billboard Hot 100 records that have been being set for the past several years, and, you know, like every song on the damn album is in the Billboard Hot 100, and I'm like that streaming shit, like it's not real. I hate to say it's not real because that sounds so like shit niggas say, but it's based on like a fraction of listening to the whole song. It's not the same as the investment of buying a single, which is why it takes so many more streams to get to album equivalent unit. But there's just not the same investment. You just gonna sit there and play shit over and over again. It just doesn't feel like an earned chart position. And also, these people don't stick in their chart position. That shit goes immediately. It'd be songs I never heard of.
Only artists that are sticking are if you have like a huge record, because of the way streaming works now, you know, that one song can basically carry your whole album.
Right.
You know, which is why some guys will come in and like, oh, you're gold in the first week. It's because they put out a single that stuck, that popped off.
Radio play still leads to actual sales conversions, right?
We're seeing that now, this is why second or so far, Future's second biggest record as of now after DS2, because the Wait For You record with him and Drake and Thames is a monster. Mm-hmm. So that song is like carrying him, and his chart position is sticking. He's like five, six every week, five, six every week, because he has this monster record. But you see like a guy like Post Malone or even Kendrick, how their stuff is dropping off a cliff because they don't have a hit. So it's, right. it's you know, whatever. It's a, I don't want to bore anybody with the shit. Anyway, Onai, by the way, I thought about you yesterday because for the first time, I finally rode my bike across the High Bridge Bridge.
Oh, yeah, I saw you post from there. It's a good bridge. I used to run it.
It's dope. It's dope. Yeah, it's dope. I like it. I like it. I like that a lot.
Like getting back there can be a pain in the ass, but it's a good bridge.
This is the first time I went back. I was, you had to go down the long path.
Because they have been, they've been renovating that part. So for listeners, you know, me and Jeffrey currently, I say currently because it's not going to be much longer, I live in the same area. Mm. Right behind my house is a park.
Yes, right. It's like two blocks from you, right?
Yeah, it's the avenue behind me, two avenues behind me. But the way my street is set up, it's basically like behind me.
It's right there,
And it runs for several blocks. It runs like almost 20 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
It runs about 15 blocks. But it's not like a fully. Actually, no, it runs more because it runs north too, all the way up to past Yeshiva. So. Yeah. But the way it's laid out is not like a traditional park. So some areas are really rocky. It's kind of a shallow park. It's long, but it's not wide.
Yeah.
But there's a road that goes behind it that literally takes you across to the Bronx.
To the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. Called High Bridge, which is what that area of the Bronx, which is like where,
Cardi's from.
Cardi's from. My mama's
with
from.
The hoodie.
Be nice. Everybody, including my own family, is from, and they just that bridge had been closed forever.
Yeah, they just did a few years ago.
Yeah, they renovated it and reopened it, and they revitalized like that whole park and that whole area. So
it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, anybody who watched In the Heights,
that pool,
the park where the pool is, that's
it's right behind there.
That's the park. And the pool really be lit like that. Like that wasn't for the movie.
That was for real. I've never gone to that pool because I don't do New York. Well, we've talked about this. I don't do New York public pools because most of them are like that.
Packed.
Like you can't even find, you got to find a spot. It's like trying to find a spot in the club. Like you're just trying to stand there. Right. And so they're packed. The park itself is packed. Like any square packed. So but that area behind that whole area is behind there is really kind of like a gym because people don't really go down those back steps because they haven't had reason to. But it's a whole like trail.
It's nice over there.
Running trail, biking trail, and shit behind there. Yeah.
Nice over there. So Inca.
Hey.
Hacks finale. Did you watch it, Nai?
Who? Which? Hacks? No, I haven't watched it at all yet.
Yo, the finale was.
That's great. I think this is it, though. Like the series
I think it's series finale. Like
I might have to mute y'all because I haven't.
They wrapped it up so tightly.
Didn't this season come back like 3 weeks ago?
Eight episodes.
Yeah. Oh.
But you know what HBO Max does is they'll sometimes give you two episodes in a night.
Okay.
It hasn't been 8 weeks, but it's been eight episodes.
I don't know why I thought the last season was weekly. Maybe they did the same thing, and I just wasn't paying attention.
It might have been, but this time they still trying to give you two.
I feel like the first week they gave us two or three.
They did. We had
when
two
I went
first,
to watch it, I was way behind.
We had two the first week, but the finale was excellent. The way they wrapped it up was just perfection.
It really it was. Perfection. You know, I like those characters so much. Like Gene Smart killed it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you said it could be it too because Gene Smart is very busy, you know. So like, I don't know how long you could expect her to keep doing a season of a show, even though I'm sure they pay her well and all that stuff. But she just booked back to back to back, so like, I doubt that she has the time to kind of keep coming back. Which is why I think they wrapped it up as a series. And if they get another one shot, then they'll figure it out. But if they
don't, this is what HBO has been doing with big stars,
since.
Probably 2018, 2019
run so you can grab them, which is smart. Yeah. It's very smart. I mean, HBO again, and this is why HBO was fantastic. I mean, the streaming services do this now too, but the limited series shit, what's genius about it is that first HBO was the first to be like, cable is more than just movies. Like we're about to kill and more than just like a comedy stand up or whatever. We're about to take the scripted programming and flip it. And then, streaming caught up with them. But now, like you said, being able to secure like really high level talent
for 6 weeks,
a series,
8 weeks.
But a series that gives you like movie meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kate Winslet. Yeah. Do a series like that.
Yeah. She's an excellent series.
Right. So like that's the way they get around. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast recently, and I forget who was talking, maybe it was Sean Fennessy and those guys who do TV, and they said something very interesting. They compared HBO Max to Netflix, and this is kind of going back to what we were saying about music. So we know Netflix came out gangbusters and, you know, did all these deals and signed all this talent, and they are very driven. And actually, this kind of loops into Barry too, Inca, because that Banshee network, you know, where the girl has, that's supposed to be loosely based on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
The network. Netflix is driven purely by the algorithm. So that's why they throw a bunch of stuff at you and it's all this content. But what's happening now is Netflix is people are saying, yeah, I got all this shit. You got all this shit, but all is kind of mid.
Yeah.
You know, everything is kind of mediocre. Like, you know, because they're purely driven by just the analytics. Whereas HBO Max, yes, they use analytics too, but they are still driven by talent.
Yeah.
Right.
So they'll say, even if we don't know if a series like the Kate Winslet joint,
Mayor of Easttown.
We don't know if it's gonna work, but she's dope. So right. we're gonna make this show. And we're going to put it on and we're going to let the talent drive it as opposed to like, well, Kate's algorithm isn't quite right. So we're not going to do something. And so what's happening is HBO Max is kind of catching up to Netflix. Netflix definitely has more subscribers, but people are going to HBO Max now because they know the quality is high.
Right. I mean, it's HBO.
And that's why Netflix is losing so many subscribers
Netflix is also losing subscribers because Netflix, after not raising their subscription price for a very long time, they've raised their subscription price twice in 2 years.
$20 now.
Yeah, you're right about that. They've raised their subscription price twice, so it sounds almost $20, but they're raising their subscription price and still giving you mid.
Right.
So we're like, yo, nigga, you want to raise the price and you ain't nothing for me to watch.
HBO Max would be perfect if they had the same user interface that Netflix has.
It's still a terrible UI.
That's the only thing wrong with HBO Max. All of the content is there.
Don't try to fast forward. That should take you back to the beginning of the show.
Yo, that bitch be like, what? Nope.
But if you actually
want to start your shit from the beginning, you should out of luck. Like, it's so hard to just buy episodes and do any of that shit. Like, it's ridiculous. I'll also say this about Hulu and Prime. So Prime has a slightly better UI than Hulu.
It's very close. They're both trash.
There's so much stuff and it's hard to find. Yeah, and that's the thing with both of them. Both of them have like these great original joints, but it's in the middle of a bunch of trash.
I mean, super trash, like garbage.
Prime will at least give you ratings. Hulu won't give you no ratings. Hulu won't even tell you what language the shit is in. They'll be like, press play.
Good luck, my nigga.
Good luck. Have fun. Like,
you know,
Hulu's algorithm is kind of fucked up too. You'll be watching something super reality, whatever, and they'll be like, ooh, maybe you want to watch The Girl from Plainville next.
Like, why? They really just pushing. Just be pushing whatever they pushing. I figured that part out. And also, with Hulu, whatever you're watching, if you click out of Hulu, you will never find that show.
Nah, it's over. You better write it down.
The continue watching banner. I think it's like 3 or 4 steps down, but it's on there now.
But my show ain't always on. It's the stupidest shit. Like, there really have been times where I can't remember the name of what I was watching because I was just scrolling through shit.
Yeah.
And like,
shit on your watch list, otherwise it's over. It's gone forever, nigga. It's gone. I want to mention one more show that I've been tapped into, and I'm shocked that I like it as much as I do, which is Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Because I'm not a Star Wars fan at all. I haven't watched a Star Wars movie in 15, 20 years. I'm not a Star Wars fan at all.
I've never seen a whole one. I fell smoothly asleep.
But Obi-Wan is really good. Like it's and I'm able to follow along, and it stars Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and obviously, and they got Darth Vader's in it, and the girl, her name is Moses.
The black girl that's all the controversy.
Yeah. She's actually the black girl that was in Queen's Gambit.
Okay.
She's the friend. Yeah, I didn't realize it yet. She's the friend.
Oh, she's a big black girl. That's why you don't
like her. Yes, she's big too. She looks like she's about like 5'9", 5'10".
She ain't like a tanny.
No. She's a big, strong girl.
Actual black girl.
The actual black girl, yeah, she plays
one man. She's the type of girl. Okay.
Yeah, and she's ruthless in this shit. She's killing niggas and like
I love it. I might watch.
Yeah, she's doing.
Oh, they hate her.
Hate her because the Star Wars people are racist, but she's murking it. She's doing her thing. So again, and you don't have to be a Star Wars fan to watch. Because again, I don't know anything, but it's easy to follow. And it's, you know, they're half hour episodes, so it's very.
I watched something last week that I thought of you, Jeffrey, that you might like. I was on a little anime kick. Mm. I watched a shit called The Erased. Or just Erased. It's about, there's a young man who has what he calls revivals, where if something dangerous happens, he somehow finds himself going back in time like 5 minutes before it happened. Let's say he sees somebody get hit crossing the street. Immediately, he's back to like right before that happened.
And he can save the
then
person.
One day he wakes up and he's like in his latter 20s. One day he wakes up and he's back in middle school. And like his mom gets murdered. And when the revival, and they think he did it, when the revival happens, instead of going like right back to earlier that night, he's back in middle school. So he's like, what the fuck? Why am I all the way back in middle school? And it's following the course going forward because he's never gone back that far, so he doesn't leap back forward. Like, he has to live this whole timeline out again.
What streaming service is this?
It's on Netflix.
Okay, I'm going to check it out. Bro, you been watching anything? Oh, your brother's on the phone, so he'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now nah, I'm going to give you a quick alley-oop.
Okay.
I was going to start this, but I know you want to start this. Great television last week, Bobby Brown.
You know what?
The bio and the series they're really good, really well done.
I watched the bio. I haven't watched the series yet because that was on Monday, I think.
Yeah, see, on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, when they showed the bio, I think they showed a couple series episodes right behind them.
I think they showed the bio on Monday and the episodes on Tuesday, maybe?
Okay, maybe that was
whatever
it. Maybe that
was it.
He has, like, a reality show, too?
Another one,
Yeah.
So whatever it was, I didn't even catch it till last night because Monday night, I was passed out. Shout out to Cheyenne. She hosted her first cookout. But really, I hosted her first. No, she hosted it.
Oh, wait, no. Don't talk about that because I was going to bring that
you
up.
You get that? Okay, so anyway.
We got to have her on the show. Have her on the show to talk about it.
Okay.
Grillgate.
I was asleep, basically. And then Tuesday, we were out. So I watched it yesterday. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. And what I enjoyed about it was that it wasn't just Bobby giving his perspective. And it wasn't just like Bobby, his wife. But it was all the guys, except Ralph, notably.
I mean, there, you know, there's a,
there's, still a, bad
there's,
blood
a, there's an alleged rumor about an issue between them that I won't talk about.
I believe that. I mean,
I absolutely believe it, but I don't want to talk about it.
I believe that. And Ralph also is like, you will see all of them together before you see Ralph. Often.
Ralph low. Ralph been low.
Ralph be like, y'all squeezed the life out of me and my career stalled out, so fuck all y'all. That's how I feel.
Call me when the tour starts.
I carried y'all niggas. And then literally. I had the worst performing album out of everybody, and y'all can kiss my ass. That's how I feel. That's how I was.
He did have the worst album because even Johnny sold more than him. I think Johnny did $4 million on that first album.
Johnny's album was a monster, same production, Jimmy and Terry.
It was half.
That
was the thing. Johnny was half. It was half Jimmy and Terry, and it was half LA and Face.
Half LA and Face. You're right.
So split right down the middle. Yeah, but yeah, Johnny. I think he did $4 million. That was the My album.
If I were Ralph, and I would especially be mad at Mike and Ronnie and Rick, like, y'all the worst singing niggas in the group. How the fuck y'all
niggas got the biggest records?
Got the biggest fucking
Well, because Mike was the marketing genius.
You can't tell Ronnie that shit.
Mike was the marketing genius of the group. He knew how to make it work.
With the swag. So I say all that to say, it was good to see at least that everybody else, including Johnny, because Johnny really has no reason to have a relationship with Bobby. You know what I'm saying? Johnny ain't from Boston. Johnny came in late after Bobby had been gone. You know what I mean? So it was good to see them give their perspective. And it's good to see, like, this is Bobby on the other side of shit, right? Yeah. So it's not like you're coming from a low place. You're coming kind of similar to with Janet. Like, this is Bobby having gotten to the other side, looking at things from the perspective of maturity, from the perspective of acceptance. And I mean, listen, y'all know I ride for Robert Beresford Brown. He's a fucking mess. I'm not gonna say he's not a mess and was a mess and has been a mess, but people think that Bobby has been like a druggie and an alcoholic like all these years. He was an alcoholic, but he's been sober for like a decade, I think, almost 20 years.
He's been off
the drugs even longer. Like, he's been sober since first of all, he was not a hard drug user like that until he got with it. He's been off that. And that's why it just always angered me that people blame Bobby. And I'm like, Bobby been sober, been remarried, got two more kids. And how you still blaming Bobby?
But they addressed that in the doc, and they addressed, you know, the whole drug thing with him and Whitney, and nobody denied anything. Right. And also, like, that everybody kept it real. Like, Mike was like, yeah, like, fuck that nigga. Like, he was fucking up on tour. Like, we had to.
It was funny when he was like, when his album came out, they was like, oh, this nigga couldn't work when we was doing shit, but now all of a sudden he got all this ethic. He didn't.
You on time.
Yeah, now you on time, nigga. Exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah, not, it was very well done. And like, Bobby, obviously, you know, you could say he's been through a lot, and I appreciated him, you know, admitting and talking about, you know, not just good shit, but the fucked up shit, like, yeah, that he did to other people.
Fucked up his money,
fucked up his bread. Because he said when that was interesting too. Did you see that part, bro? When he said that when he was Gary and Mary Whitney, Mr. John was like, I need to see your bank statements, nigga, to see what you're doing. Yeah. And Bobby said he was worth 55 million.
Woo!
He said he had just got a $36 million check from the publishing of the first album. That first album did 8 million.
Yeah,
and it might be close to 10 now.
He also toured off that shit for 2 years.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Listen, I don't think Bobby was hurting.
No, he wasn't hurting.
I think he put a little sauce on that.
That might have been that.
He ain't say liquid. He didn't say liquid.
That was definitely gross, nigga. That was not net.
okay, not net. Okay,
gross, not gross. Net.
He did not. He didn't feel like
that was the P without the L. That was the P without the L. That wasn't the L.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was there. Because remember, the nigga said that he would go to cities and he would just, like, go to, say he had to go to, you know, Detroit. He would go to Detroit. He'd buy shit. He'd buy a car. And then when he left Detroit, he would just leave everything.
That's very believable, because back then, I mean, a lot of motherfuckers was doing that, to be quite honest.
Tyson used to do that all the time.
Nigga, Tyson's notorious for leaving a fucking car somewhere.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you might have, the chick might have gave Tyson some ass and woke up to a Bentley in the driveway with the tire.
Yeah. Like, no, right. Real shit. What
doing? I mean, that was what
I mean,
my,
he had.
That's what I'm saying. So it wasn't uncommon. You know, and at that time, we also got to remember, like, Fast Money was still out here. Yes. So you could go and give a motherfucker 30,000 cash. And yes, these motherfuckers had their titles. They owned them cars. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Straight paper bag cash. They was paying over market. That's how they was getting all those cars. So it wasn't, that was very believable. And of course, you're doing shows, you know, back then, they probably weren't doing 100% up front, particularly for a dude with that kind of reputation. Yeah. So he probably went back in pickups.
Yep.
And I'm sure he was picking, I'm sure his shows at that point, Bobby might have been doing $75,000, $100,000 dates.
Yeah, because he was doing arenas.
He was doing arenas overseas. This nigga was doing arenas in Japan.
Nigga might have been picking up 30 cash.
Yeah.
Easy. Yes.
And that's why it's so funny, because it's like when people who missed Bobby's peak act like it's questionable when people talk about Bobby as the king of R&B or even Whitney.
He was for a minute.
Being in love with Bobby. I'm like, Bobby was a goddamn superstar. Like,
yeah.
I ain't seen a nigga like Bobby at his height since.
Yeah.
He was not a Chris Brown. Not. I ain't seen it. I ain't seen it since.
I love the part with him, Usher. Usher, like, yeah, giving him
I love
flowers.
That. I love
that. Super dope. And yeah. I didn't realize it, but then when he said it, it made so much sense. Bobby talked about when they went on tour with Rick James and he studied Rick. He said Rick would let me stay. And I was like, oh, yeah.
So, He's James Brown and Rick.
What are you going to say,
ahead,
bro?
Sorry, Sean.
I was going to say, I've toured a bit. And one of the things that I've always recognized with phenomenal and great performers, they never stay backstage.
They
are always watching. They are always studying. They are always seeing how they can improve. And it is not on some go out there with your notebook, you got to punch a clock shit. It is something like they are fucking in tune. They are engaged.
And they also watch it and absorb it as a fan too, yes. Right? So it's like, yo, that was amazing. You know what I mean? Like, they're still fans.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a problem with somebody who isn't a fan of other people.
And peace to Rick. Because a lot of them old niggas, they don't really embrace young dudes like And Rick probably saw a lot of himself in Bobby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Probably was like, all right, little nigga.
Come on, little nigga.
Right.
I mean, Rick,
Rick probably had Bobby in some shit. Can you imagine?
Lots of cocaine.
Bobby and all kind of.
Bobby, go down to the lobby. Go down to the lobby for me. See Nappy Red.
see if he here. He said he pulling up now. Just go on that.
don't worry about what it is. Just go on down.
Just go on and pick that up. He come back upstairs.
Don't let him stop you though. Just bring him straight
down there. Up to the presidential suite. You know, it's really well done. And then the reality show is obviously about him now, and he's trying to get in shape and get it together to go back on. What the new edition tour that just happened.
Yeah.
So he's talking to me, he's up there trying to, because he's gotten very heavy and he's, you know, trying to lose weight and, you know, he's trying to just kind of get his, I won't say get his life together because he seems very happy with his wife and happy with the kids, but he's just trying to get his self health together, back. His health
and
back.
His stamina back up. I mean, here's the thing, Bobby's 50 and the alcohol and, you know, all the arrests and the bad boy shit. Which, first of all, let me back up for a second. Bobby, like, the fact that people still keep this bad boy moniker on him for shit he was doing in his 20s and 30s, it disturbs me a little bit. Because, like, white rock stars and stars, and I hate it when we compare shit to white people, but in this case, I kind of have to, because white rock stars and stars and rappers, they get to have these brushes and run-ins with the law and doing whatever, right? It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But an R&B artist does it.
And we tag him with the scarlet letter.
Yeah, and like for his entire life, I feel like it's so unfair because, I mean, I think that one of the things that really bothers me about a lot of conversations that we have today about moments in culture is that people approach it from a very current perspective as though that person is the age they are today.
Yeah. Right? It's 1987 still.
Right. And I'm like, yo, if you are a young Black person with a lot of fucking money who didn't have it before, and everybody's right on your shit, like right everybody's on your jock, like you would give everybody an ass to kiss frequently. Are you kidding me?
People do is they don't take the setting into context and they don't take the period into context. Mm. Nigga, it was wild.
Yeah.
We've said this on here before. The industry was fucking like whatever you think, these little nasty ass rappers who's talking all this shit,
they ain't doing nothing
on the road. It ain't none compared to what normal ass R&B groups is doing on the road. It's fucking crazy outside.
Yeah. A lot of your grannies.
A lot of your mamas.
Yeah, your mamas too.
A lot of your mamas. Let's be real, because like I know what my peers was up to, so mm-hmm. I'm just saying, a lot of y'all's mamas and the ones older than us.
Exactly. Exactly.
They was outside when shit first got popular.
Now she out here with the dress to go to the ankles and now she's going to church Sunday. That is your church mother, exactly. She making the pound cake for the kids play.
It's like, and people like to be like, oh, trying to explain the time. It's the same way they get about like the crime bill and shit. Oh, trying to explain the time, y'all using it as an excuse. No, not an excuse, but like shit.
This is context.
Perception
context
evolves, behavior evolves, social norms evolve. People grow up because God forbid, if I had a record, like a public facing record of the shit I was doing when I was in my 20s, are you fucking?
Bruh.
It's not good. It's not good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Bobby Show. Bobby Show is good. Bobby Show is good. Watch it. You know,
it was good.
It's funny. You know, he talks about losing his son. Obviously, talks about Christina. They talks about Whitney. Like they don't leave any stone unturned. I didn't know until the show that his wife is the girl from the Rumpshaker video that plays the saxophone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's his wife. Yeah. So it's really good, though. I mean,
I want people to give Bobby some grace because, I mean, think about you losing Whitney. Losing Whitney so upsets him. Like, he starts crying.
Yeah, of course.
And Bobby Chris using, but it was Landon.
Bobby Jr.
Okay. So. Losing his son. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. He's had a lot. Both parents are gone. He's had a lot of trauma.
He talked about his best friend dying in his arms when he was a kid.
Yeah, he talked about that too.
It's a lot. That man been through a lot, and I mean, and he's put himself through a lot. And like, New Edition as a whole, honestly, and I might have missed some of it, so I don't know if they spoke to this part, but New Edition as a whole, honestly, is a story that we actually need to study a little bit more when we're having all these conversations about the business of music, because we are lucky that they are as healthy and as active and everything, because they've been in some really bad spots, all of them, at different points,
absolutely.
And it's like, so, you know, the fact that they are finally getting like these legacy tours,
getting their flowers,
you know, instead of just doing like the one-offs at the fucking Beacon, they're actually able to do
the Fox Theater in Detroit. Earl and Charlene coming through for the night with the furs on. Another one I just want to mention, and we've seen kind of like the groundswell of it, but it seems to be hitting a fever pitch now in a good way since she's doing a residency, is I love to see Miss Anita Baker getting her flowers.
Yeah,
she's doing a residency in Vegas now. It started a couple weeks ago. I think is this the second residency or the first? I don't remember.
I think it's the first because her last tour was her farewell tour.
That tour did well. But like, I saw a clip last week where Lil Wayne was at the show. You know what I'm saying? He stood up and everybody's like, oh shit. Chance the Rapper came to one show. And, you know, obviously, some people that we know on Twitter went.
I think it's the same residency. It just may be a long
one. Can I say something?
Yeah.
Have we really not ever given her her flowers, though?
No, we've always given her flowers.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Because she has consistently been among the great. Like, when we talk about the greats,
absolutely,
she's a part of that conversation. Like, she's not part of that conversation. There's never been a point where Anita Baker could not be on a show bill, right? You could take a 2-album run and she could have just lived off of that, right? I'm just saying
that's the thing. Like, she didn't own her publishing and her masters, and I think a lot of people didn't realize that she wasn't getting paid from her catalog.
But I gotta pause that because she didn't own her publishing and her masters because her contract, I think her contract had just ended. And she was waiting for her master to revert back to her.
Yeah.
Right?
She said that, and I don't know in what capacity, but when Chance was at the show, she said from the stage, thank you, Chance, for helping me get my stuff back. And she said that about Wayne, too. So I don't know
what... There was a legal fight. They're helping her out in some kind of way. I'm not performing. I'm not doing all this stuff for whatever that.
And remember, she'd be going on Twitter, be like, "Yo, I'm sorry, y'all.
Don't stream my music."
So Chance and Wayne and some of the other young guys have some, in some way, again, I don't know which way, but in some way, I wonder, she says they helped her get her.
I hear what you're saying, Sean, like as far as the love for sure, but I'm saying maybe she didn't feel it from like the industry.
Maybe. I mean, the industry don't give a fuck about nobody.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So God bless. I mean, if she feels that way now, I don't want to be, I don't want to be a wet blanket.
I know what you're saying. I ain't saying you're a wet blanket.
Wayne been out for 32 years. We're going to stop acting still, like Wayne is a 25-year-old rapper.
No, he's not. I'm not saying that.
As long as Jay-Z's career.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is to see this young...
You need to take Wayne to the barbershop you go to.
But
to
see this... something.
No, I think Wayne's in his 30s. But anyway, what I'm saying is,
look like
you said, to see like
Wayne
that
is no
that,
way younger than
that dude to go
seen.
To her show. It's like yeah. It's like it make it sounds kind of corny, I'm about to say, but it almost like makes it cool. Like, oh, Wayne,
R&B is hot again. Again, we've been saying this shit. The catalog, classic R&B is hot again. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of. It just took people longer to get here. I think we've talked about this before. For us, it was soundtracks that put us mm-hmm. on, and of course the sampling, but I think it was also the soundtracks more than the sampling, because I remember playing a lot of like More Balance and shit like that because it was on like Friday or something. I don't know, like, you know, or like something. But soundtracks always had like a few classic cuts, then you have the samples, then you have whatever your parents were playing, and there was just a gap in that. So I think that now the classic shit, like how DJs have Can We Talk in the set now. They didn't play Can We Talk in the club when the shit was out.
That's a man. And peace to Tevin Campbell, because he going to live on that forever. And peace to Babyface for writing and producing it.
I'm like, Can We Talk is cute, but there's some better upset. You know, there's some better mids that you could throw in there.
I mean, and the young people keep it. What's the call? I'm alive. And I always love this argument. What's the shit? Return to Mac.
Return
back,
because they
keep
arguing about it.
And I love it because it's split right down the middle. Either you love that song or you
hate that song.
Fucking despise
that fucking song.
Same thing with This Is How We Do It.
You hate it, Inka?
I hate it. Don't play that shit around me.
I enjoy it. I hate This Is How We Do It. I hate that record.
I hate This Is How We Do It.
I love this.
Get It On Tonight is such a better song.
I hate This How We Do It.
But anyway, so I think, R&B is cool again to the point where, like, I went to Anita's show in Radio City and I was actually pissed off because everybody was singing so loud the whole time.
Well, let her sing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was the fucking sing along, which is cute for a song or two, but bitch, I ain't paid to hear y'all.
For the whole show, I saw a clip of I guess the last time that Tevin did Essence, I guess it's probably like 18 or so. He did the what's it called, the lounge, and he started doing Can We Talk, and I think maybe Always in My Heart or something. And the nigga literally said, "Can I sing my song, please?"
Right.
To the audience. He's like, "Yo, can I sing my song, please?"
Flattering, but when you are in a small space, you can't do that. Yeah, like, you can do it in the Superdome all day. You can do it in an arena.
You ain't going to tell Carla. You ain't going to tell Carla, Keisha, and Tasha they can't sing this. Like, I ain't no money for these tickets. I don't want to hear shit. But it's nice to see. Bro, you
want to
deal
do
with
you want
this?
Me to talk about Ruth's Picnic? No.
Let me get to it.
Okay.
You on the list? You on the list? Bro, you want to mention talk about this Lori Harvey breakup you've been about? You've been sticking on this?
Well, it ain't really much to me. Because I'm on.
God God bless.
I'm old enough to be that gal daddy, so. You know.
Literally. Me too.
But Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan publicly broke up, I will say. For many, many people thought this was a bit of a PR stunt to begin with. All I gotta say is, you know, he's 35, she's 25. That's a really big difference for people with choices. And when I say choices, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously she's an attractive young woman. She will have many more suitors.
There
will
never a lot of money. Be
sniffing around that door.
No.
But she has choices. And what I mean by that is like, yes, a normal 25-year-old with like $78,000 of student debt and making $48,000 is probably jumping at the chance to not have to worry about that shit anymore with an attractive, eligible bachelor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sure, he checks mm-hmm. off a lot of boxes, right? Like, the nigga wanted to be married. It seems. This is all alleged. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he wanted to be, well, at least the story is, he wanted to be a little more serious, settle down. There were, you know, obviously rumors of, you know, maybe asking about marriage and things like that. She's like, nah, right. B, I'm good. And I say all that to say, like, that shit happens.
Yeah,
like, that shit happens. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but, like, women have more options now. This isn't just about...
Lori is rich.
Yes. This isn't just about a woman.
Young and rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this isn't just... And also, too... It's very, what I found very interesting was so many women referring to her fit years, which I found to be fascinating.
Wait, I missed this. I missed all of that.
Have a baby now.
Why would she give up her bad bitch body years?
To have a baby now.
Are my fit years over?
I have not heard that
because you know the argument that's is you upsetting. Have the baby while you're early, while your baby, while your body can more easily bounce
y'all
back.
Can grow up together.
I've never heard
that's the smart that. Shit.
I was listening again. To me, it sounded like people that live vicariously through celebrities.
Absolutely.
God bless.
I like it.
Michael will be fine. There will be plenty of white women sniffing around him. We'll have no shortage.
I mean, he gonna cry on the sidelines for another couple of weeks, but
I don't even know. Listen, usually when people publicly break up, they have extensively gone through this already.
Kind of,
yeah. Like,
right.
I saw some pain in his eyes last night at the game, though.
Yeah, I was just making a joke about
that. I was also like, do we need a PR statement? Like, we just would have noticed these niggas ain't together. I felt like that would have been.
That's it.
They ain't Jennifer. They ain't Ben and J-Lo. Like, I ain't need a goddamn favor.
I get a little hint of squareness from him. And I get the idea that he might have felt like, I need to be honorable and say that we are no longer together before I pursue the suits of another young woman.
Yeah.
Pussy, man.
Nigga turned into Steve Harvey.
Yeah, exactly. I also just find it interesting how there are also a lot of women, and I think these women tend to be a bit older, who kind of have always some slick shit to say about Lori, like, she's a hoe, or she's doing too much, or blah, blah, blah.
Jealous energy, because that girl has a freedom that these older people did not.
Also,
words out of my mouth. She's 25. She, like I said, she has access to a lot of money. She's beautiful. And, you know, young black, rap, white, whatever, people do this every day.
But she was also engaged at like 19 or 20 to a Formula One race car.
Oh, yeah, Lewis Hamilton, right?
She married that nigga.
Yeah.
She not, I think she was like, I almost went down that road. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love
And I mean, the list of suitors, like, we talk about Nick Cannon having an extensive Rolodex. My girl
no,
is getting
she's a
it
legit
done,
socialite.
And I'm not mad.
And this is why people don't know how to relate to her. Lori Harvey is a legit black socialite. We don't see a lot of those.
No, we don't.
Like,
you really ain't got to do shit. Which, like, I didn't hear the girl speak for the first time until a year ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, she just
dropped that bullshit skincare line.
Because at one point I was like, Lori Harvey, I don't know why y'all be bothering to register your judgments on Lori. She ain't trying to sell you shit. She ain't trying to convince you of shit. She ain't trying to
know. Somebody was like,
she don't want nothing from you.
She be going to the gym like 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, that shit got on is just a little like she do something. Lori Harvey don't do shit.
You don't say nothing. You don't even know her. You don't even know her.
Don't know nothing about her.
An opinion one way. You don't know if she fucking vote Republican. You don't know nothing about that woman.
All
but
we know
be
is her
mad.
Pictures on the gram.
They mad. They be so mad.
They be so mad.
About her.
But like Inga said, that's jealousy, because it's like, look at the life this girl's leading, and my life was nothing like that.
But it's also anger from the men. The men.
Everybody calls her a hoe. Like, you know, and my thing is, first of all, I don't know how many guys these guys she's actually had sex with.
Yeah, we just.
But even if she had sex with all of them, so what?
But yeah, because I was about to say, 25. Lori's day, and I think we talked about this too, but like, even if you count everybody we've even just seen Lori publicly with, without like just in a snapshot, it is no more than the dating life of any average single woman her, or just a woman her age, period. The relationship cycle is the same.
But see, that's what there's it is. A lot of these niggas, a lot of these niggas get fooled by their girl because they meet their girl and they, the girl tells them my body count is 2.
Well, I'm just saying it's our fault.
Anybody who asks for a grown person for a body count deserves to be lied to. I just let me just say that.
They just think that you know, the girl told them, I never did this before. This is the first person I ever did. I never sucked dick before you. I never voted off for you. All right, my nigga. I hear you.
That's like a dead president's when Cuddy told that nigga.
Yes.
Like, you like that before you went to the war, nigga.
Nigga, you should be thanking me, nigga. But she wasn't doing all that shit before you left.
Lori represents a young woman whom it's like with the Sierra shit. Like there is a subset of black men who are lost right now, right? Because they do not know how they're supposed to move. In terms of women, like, are they supposed to treat women like they don't need them, but then that nets them nothing because they do need them because they need the money, they need somebody with a house, they need somebody who can cook. They try to shame women for being single, but nigga, you single shaming me because I'm single. I'm single and I'm good. I have a comfortable house. I'm making myself dinner. I can drink. I can travel.
You just got one pair of sheets.
Yeah, like you got that flat ass pillow that you
no
have.
No top sheet.
Well, no top sheet.
One pillow.
These towels is all hard and shit.
You got two towels and no match. You got a frying pan and like one plate and like
word.
A
all your plates from the cafeteria.
Word.
Like, and young women are starting to realize, like, yeah, I actually don't really need to be pressed to be married. I don't even need to be pressed to be in a relationship. But the other thing I think is, and maybe Sean and Jeff, you can tell me this. I get the sense that because men are very much about the newness of things, whereas women, not so much. Like when women are single, it's usually because they just want to, when women are single by choice, it's usually just because they want a break. Like there's something they want to work on, or their last relationship was draining for them. Mm. They want some peace. They want to reevaluate some shit or whatever. I feel like when men hear women say they're single by choice, their assumption is that they're single because they just want to be able to jump on penis at random. When it's basically never about that for us, almost. Is that kind of how y'all feel though? That because when men say they're single by choice, folks assume it's because they don't want to be tied down, they want to be able to move. But when women say they're single by choice, it's more because like I just don't want to have to like answer to a nigga just about like where's my fucking shirt and what time am I coming home type shit.
We're taught that that is not something you guys want ever,
yeah. Right?
Like we're taught that a girl's dream is to find a man and get married. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
this
very, yeah, the fairy tale.
This very fairy tale shit, right? Like, and even when she is able to go out into the world and provide and do all of these sorts of things, she is always longing for the sort of shoulders of a man to come and lay on and be feminine now, and she you're like there was.
Meanwhile, the dream is to have the house with the velvet couch that you not gonna put your balls on for you to not come in here. That's the dream, to live by myself happily ever after.
The velvet couch.
Know how many fucking Italian ice cups is left in the freezer? That's the dream.
Well, that's what I think most men see. Right? They just process. There's no way. You are legitimately feeling that way because, you know, it's just like with men. Like a lot of niggas they single by choice. Mm-hmm. And
you're not.
I mean, are you though?
Right.
I mean, you say you're
only as single as your options.
You can have someone. Right, you're just not choosing that particular person
exactly.
For reasons, right? You know, whether it's her dead toenail or whatever,
Listen, it's always going to be some spaghetti in there, but if you got Postmates money, different, right? Yes.
Yeah, a lot of dudes they will tell themselves that, you know, they're single, but really what it is a lot of these niggas are shooting for the stars and they ain't really equipped. Like a lot of you shooting for nines and tens, and you need to be busting your gun at sixes, nigga.
You're
four in the possible.
Yeah, you're four in the possible,
nigga. You're five when you put your good suit on, nigga.
Exactly. If you got a 10, you wouldn't even know what to do with it. You'd be spazzing. Right.
So outkicking your coverage. That's a big part of what got like this idea that and then what they do is they just kind of tell themselves at some point that, you know, I don't want to be alone, right? Like, nigga, tired of eating on this hot plate, all right? Ain't nobody over the house is quiet.
Always got spaghetti.
And honestly, I need the older head to kind of yank the younger men up more frequently, because some of these motherfuckers, like, I can see the men in their 30s. You always see dudes in their 30s, their minds start to shift from being like, y'all want to be outside, I want to be outside. They're like, oh shit, my boys are getting married. Mm. That shit actually looks kind of nice. That shit looks peaceful. These hoes are stressing me out. I don't want to be spending all my money. I'm tired of hookah. I really like to just be home. But you see that, you can see the change of all, which is why, you know, there's always like, in every girl group, there's a conversation about some dude they know where they're like, he just up and got married all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Like, where did he come from? Who the fuck is that? Yeah. After he was with somebody else for like
19 years, exactly. Yeah,
so it's like
the way Travis is that guy,
right? Like, literally had just broken off an engagement, right?
Pretty much, yeah. They were together like 5 years, and then I became like 6 months later.
Exactly.
So you know, the game is cold.
But that's different because that was her fault. That was on her, so that was different. But
God bless. Like, thank you.
but we see the change happen, but I'm seeing now men who really, I don't know if they've just been told to project and that it works, because I know there's some pickup artist shit, but they really seem to believe that like they not gonna be the ones left stuck out here. I'm like, do y'all really not know y'all gonna be the ones left stuck out here?
Meanwhile,
do y'all really?
There's a healthcare worker on TikTok who is talking about the amount of men under 60 who are just in the nursing homes.
Have a little stroke or something like that.
Nobody to take care of them. Nobody comes to see them. They got kids. They don't care about them. And they just live there. Like, even after they recover, they sign their social security over so they can have a place to live.
Watching Price is Right.
I can totally believe that.
Yeah.
Nobody's giving them cautionary tales. Like, listen, at some point, like at least nobody's saying it's gotta be like,
you know. It's gotta be today, but nigga, don't fuck
like, around. At least don't fuck everybody in your life over. Like, don't do that shit. Like,
You gotta start treating these women like humans.
What I'm trying to tell these motherfuckers about not picking up these family traditions, men and women. I'm like, y'all gonna be 55 and ordering takeout and mad.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Thanksgiving come around and y'all ain't got no pie that's homemade.
And motherfuckers gonna be like, "Wow, whatever happened to the y'all niggas ain't want to learn nothing." Like,
shit get real out there. I want to just give one more quick shout. I listened to the Read podcast.
Shout out to Kid Fury.
Yeah, it was crazy because like I didn't know this was happening.
They were taking a break, but I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, so at the end of the podcast, they didn't really go to, like, you want to say something before you go? And he just goes into this thing where he's like, yo, I'm just really unhappy right now. And my therapist basically said that, like, I'm in the danger zone. Like, he's like, sometimes I'll be like, I don't want to live. And he's crying. Yeah. He's saying this. And it's really intense. And of course, he's like, yo, I don't know. I'm just so unhappy and I'm just trying, but I'm just so unhappy right now and I don't know what to do. So I really need to take a break. He's like, I really love doing this show, but I'm just not in the space right now. It was really intense. So I want to just,
saying how like tired he was.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just so tired. Like it sounded like, I mean, and I don't want to wish this on anybody, but it sounded like he had a couple close calls where he like went right to the edge. That's how he sounds like. He's like, I was almost right there a couple of times where I just almost just, you know.
I wish,
I wish him well. Yeah, because
but you know what, that is.
But I think a lot of that is, you know, the pandemic, and
the pandemic.
And even if you had no personal shit going on, what's happening in the world right now is enough.
Yeah, and he always talks about he spends a lot of time, most of his time alone.
Right,
he's in his crib with just him and his dog. His family's in Miami, so he doesn't see them. And obviously, unless he goes there. And with the pandemic, him and Krista weren't in their little squad, weren't hanging out, obviously.
Right.
And so he said, he's like, I go out to walk the dog and I come home. And he'd be in the house like all day, every day. And so
I also heard was like that fans, because I think they're taking an indefinite hiatus. And
I understand.
Fans apparently were feeling a way about that. And like, my thing is, I know you feel a certain, like, it's such a weird line, like the entitlement fans feel to people.
Like, I don't care if you was gonna kill yourself. I want you to do a show.
Yeah, because like on the one hand, we get it, right? Like, you're the reason that whomever is in whatever position. But on the other hand, if you really care about them that much, you can't want them to like break themselves for your entertainment.
And then one day he's just not here anymore permanently. You know,
they've only missed 3 or 4 shows in like 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's surprising that fans wouldn't.
They were doing the live shows.
Plus they were touring. Now they had a TV show pilot
for a minute. They've been testing out different arenas. Like, it's just
they
like,
recorded a comedy album. I forgot about that
and promoted it. That just was
they've been doing a lot. So I'm gonna wish them well. I hope
you keep the train moving. It's a lot of pressure, which is why those of us, we've been at that point. You know, the three of us, me, Sean, and Jeff, a couple different times. And one of the reasons that we've never pushed all the way through was because it was like, it's a lot to maintain it on that level.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It has to become like, damn near some full time shit for you.
Yeah. I want to just mention this because I don't really understand. Like, I haven't gotten a quick grasp on it, but this baby formula shortage.
Oh, I can tell you what it is.
Yeah.
So the company said that they knew it was coming, and they told the current administration is coming, and they kind of was like, yeah, whatever, nigga, like, let us know.
And now
it's obviously here, and there's a panic.
Donald Trump's fault. Go ahead.
Here's the problem. The problem was that there's one plant that makes the majority of, like, Similac and other baby formula, right?
Abbott Industries.
One company and one plant, Abbott. And Abbott had been failing to meet FDA standards for a minute. And I think during COVID. And it was extreme enough so that it got to a point where it wasn't something they could turn around quickly. That's what they warned the government about. Not that a shortage was coming, like we're running out of supplies, but more like if we shut down, this is what it is. Now, I don't...
It started with recalls, though.
Yes, it did. It started with...
Oh, really? Were babies getting sick?
Similac
babies recall. Were getting sick, yeah.
So they were doing Similac recall. So what I think, I don't know this, what I think is that there's not much the government could have done, because you can't just open up a plant and say, make Similac right now, right? But beyond relaxing the standards or bailing them out somehow. What were you going to say?
The government could have lifted the ban that Trump instated on importing baby formula
from overseas.
And they did. I don't understand. That's an executive order.
I forgot about that.
I don't understand why they didn't because there is no shortage anywhere else in the world.
Just
everywhere
here,
else has shelf stock.
Yeah. It's just, as a matter of fact, I was seeing people say, if you know mothers, if you go on Amazon, like, put your address in, it's Canada. And then when you're checking out, switch it to the states so that you can order. But
that still doesn't work. There's a few states where that doesn't work. New York is one of them. Anyway.
So, yeah, New York won't let you ship anything here. But anyway. So now they've reached an agreement with FDA. But it still is going to take. They reached the agreement about 3 weeks ago. It's going to take like another month to get the plant back up and running. So it's still going to be a while.
Long time.
But it's a long time because it's not a turn. But that also to me says that this is how far Abbott let their shit
slide. Fall. Yeah.
But in the meantime, Biden did try to introduce a bill or something.
They enacted that wartime circumstance where other factories can start to produce more.
The And Republicans voted against it because they
they don't want it.
They do.
Because they don't want to
see babies. Because they don't care about life.
Fuck them kids.
All they care about is...
There was a line in the bill that made them reject it, and that was that they were going to send some formula down to the border to where those babies are. And they couldn't stand for us. We can't feed those babies, right?
Fuck them babies.
Yeah, the whole point is to have more white babies. You can't feed the non-white babies.
It's disgusting.
I can't believe it.
But I've been at Target almost every day. I'm looking out for my homegirls who have new babies. I've been shipping formula at the post office because, like, you know, you get the special kind. And having a preemie, there's two kinds of formulas that preemies can have for the first, like, 3, 4, 6 months, something like that. And that shit is really hard to find. So... Right.
What people don't understand is that for mothers who were lactating and then switched to formula, because a lot of people were like, well, why can't you just go back to breastfeeding? And it's not that simple. Like, yes, you can induce lactating again, but it's not as easy as just going back and forth.
It's hard as shit. And I was a person who had to fortify my breast milk because I had a 1-pound baby. Yeah. So Ivy was dual fuel. Like, I can't imagine being in that position where your breast milk is just not enough to sustain, or your baby's not latching, or, you know, you don't have the right pump, or you get a clog, or, like, there's so many... Yeah. Formula keeps babies alive. Yeah. It's not just on some, like, lazy shit, which is pissing me off. Like, anyway.
Bro, did you see this? I saw a picture yesterday somewhere in California. Gas is damn near 10 a gallon. It was like 9 and change.
It was, well, it was last time I was in LA. It was, I mean, in fairness, I was in, like, the Beverly Hills area, but it was about $7 a gallon, about 6 and some change.
Damn,
I have,
and that's the 87
before. I just stopped. I stopped looking.
You said fuck it. I'm just whatever.
I just stopped looking because what is looking gonna do? Okay, give me 20 on 3. Okay, and hopefully I can make it around the corner, nigga. Like, that's what we are. Like, I mean, I don't have another. I don't have a long term.
It's not an option. There's no option.
Like, sitting here like bitching about it is not making the gas any cheaper. Like, clearly we're being gouged in a way that is even above and beyond the summer price increase. Like, we always get a summer price increase. That's not uncommon at all. But also, gas has always been consistently more expensive on the West Coast than the East Coast. Like, consistently, even in our lower points, you know, we might be at, you know, when we was at 2 and change, you go to LA, man, it's like $3.40.
Wow. I'm thinking of the poor college students, because the number, you know them, yeah, I don't know if y'all know, but I remember them days of scraping change out my car, looking for quarters under the seats and all of that shit, just to put like $1.35. Yeah.
When I started driving, gas was $2.09.
Let me get $2.20 on 3. Exactly.
Let me get $8 on 3 and this Pepsi.
And a pack of bubble yum.
It's to the point now where your credit card stops before you can fill up your tank, because most credit cards cap you at $100.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, like, yes, like, dude, I mean, I think I might have spent like $75 last time I was putting gas. I mean, I think I had a half a gallon. I think I had half a tank.
Half a tank?
Half a tank, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, my little mom car is taking like way more. So I ain't going nowhere. Fuck that.
And then meanwhile, Tesla's is exploding on niggas. You think you're getting over with the electric shit, and them shit's catching on fire.
And locking niggas in the car.
Locking niggas in the car.
give me this 125 years of fucking consistent history, motherfucker. I will pay the price.
Exactly. I want to mention one more thing.
Real built for it, tough ass. Shout out to Detroit, Motor City.
Cadillac, man. Give me a Cadillac. And then we'll be Cadillac now. Y'all can take that good.
I like, show me the plan.
This nigga know where the oil go, where the gas go, where the washer go.
Fuse box, but. Nigga. I ain't driving no computer. Fuck that.
What's funny about the computer is that I was in Shaw's Tesla last week, and she was like, so the thing about a Tesla is that sometimes, you know, it's kind of like an app. It gets glitchy. But she was just talking about the features, the functions in the car, not driving, but shit like the Spotify, the shit like that. But, like, I was like, it's nice, though. It's a nice ass car.
Yeah, and they fast as a rocket, too.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah. I also want to just mention, I saw the story last week that apparently basically every black staffer in the White House is leaving or has left.
Oh, yeah.
They all
they're gone. Tired.
They tired. Simone, you know, Simone Sanders is one of the first to go, but now it's just, everybody's leaving. It's called, they're calling
it black. Show on MSNBC.
Well, I think it feels like black staff only because there were so many black staffers to begin with, but it is standard for the, it is standard for a large amount of the staff that comes into the White House at the beginning of administration to only stay for about a year to a year and a half. They don't necessarily stay the duration because a lot of them were on the campaign. And they're fucking tired. And I have to imagine in this administration, especially, like, they came into so much chaos. Like, you had to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And you're still a federal employee. It's not you caking off on that shit. Like, you can't
They might be gearing up for midterms.
That too. Peace to all of them. Tell us about the... Roots Picnic. I saw the Mary part. I'm assuming Mary's voice shot? Because she was doing a lot of mic out to, she was doing Frankie Beverly. A whole lot of mic to that crowd.
I'm not sure about her voice. I noticed that too. I'll say this. Because I don't want to talk shit about
Frankie Beverly, by the way. I love Frankie Beverly.
Yes. But Frank, we all know that Frankie legit does not.
You can't do what he used to do. And that's okay.
Right. But here's what I think. And it's been years old now. But anyway. Yeah, so here's the thing. This year, the Roots Picnic expanded. It's always been one day. This year it was two. This year also Live Nation took over the Roots Picnic.
Was the crowd always that big?
No.
Because I saw it on TV. I was like, it's damn, bigger. That should look like fucking Coachella. Yeah,
it's bigger even than it was in 19. It was 30,000 each day, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't that big last time I went. So, because Live Nation took over and it grew so big, like, and you know, first one back since pandemic, like all these various elements. There was some logistical things happening. And, you know, when you're talking about the Roots, and you're talking about a lot of people who do this show, you're talking about motherfuckers who then had the same sound people, same techs, same MDs for fucking 30 years, right?
Forever.
These motherfuckers know what they are doing.
It's like Derek and Rebecca.
The Roots stage manager, Keith does this shit, like, always, everything from Fallon to the road to whatever. What was happening is that, like, the Live Nation people were changing mic lines, switching shit around, like, from between sound check and stage, changing wires. And for those who don't work in production, whatever you do in sound check, which is why sound check is so important. Yeah, the reason sound check is so important is because, especially when you're talking about a festival where you have multiple artists coming on and off the stage, everybody's stuff is right off stage. It's labeled. Your wires are run to the soundboard a certain way. Your levels are set a certain way. All your shit is right where it's supposed to be. And your shit is different than the other artist's shit. And this artist, your mic is there. Your ears are there. It's just that when you start changing shit around, the way stuff is patched, especially for a live feed, all kind of shit. So I noticed it at first with Jasmine Sullivan. I was like, why her mic so low? Her mic was like muffled. And I never expect sound quality issues or something that's connected to the Roots. And then all the set times were running behind because of this shit. Mary, I just know that Mary wasn't comfortable. I feel like there might have been something going on with her backing track.
Okay, that's because I know she's been working like a maniac, and I thought her voice just might have got tired because she was doing.
It could have been that. I felt like there was something going on with her backing track. Because to your point, I've never seen her like, I'm Going Down is usually her sing-along song. But she had the mic out for everything. And she was doing a lot of My Life stuff, which she doesn't do often. And, the keys are different. You know what I'm saying? You could tell it was like, she didn't have the same energy. And I think it was because she was just like not with it. Like she was trying to be with it. But she would, because it was a different kind of set for her. It was a completely different kind of vibe. And I think that Live Nation, like, everybody I know who was MDing or DJing or anything yesterday was, like, they were over it. I heard, like, Amir was mad. All of God, Tariq was mad. Like, at the end of the day, it was a good day. But for people who were behind the scenes dealing with logistics, they were annoyed. And
so was Jill and the kind of usual Philly people there? I'm not
No. I want to say, was Freeway there? One of them niggas made it, but not like the Jills and the stuff like that. No. Okay. It was actually like, it was a really kind of different bill than, I mean, Summer Walker, I guess you would expect, you know, at there, but like Chief Keef was there, Rick Ross was there, Rakim was there, you expect that. And then like Music, SWV, minus Tosh, Tosh has COVID, Keisha Cole was there last night, you know, Jazzy Jeff did a set. So you had like, I mean, she sounded fine. I just don't care that much about Keisha. I was back in the artist compound most of the time, which is like, the other thing was like, there were multiple VIP areas. So they're like a gold, a silver, and then all the way in the back by where the buses and stuff are, there's where all the artists
was hanging out.
Well, that's where all their trailers are. So
okay.
You go back there and there's like a whole setup. They got catering. The food is amazing.
Of course.
You know, they got a bar, Ciroc bar, all that shit. So I stayed back there most of the night because it's just an easier place to be because Gym Pop was out of fucking control. Even the stage was out of control. It's mad niggas on the stage. It's mad niggas side stage. It's mad niggas VIP. It's mad, like, everywhere you go, it's just a lot of people. And I was like, I was on stage. I went to stage for Mary and I went to stage for Music and SWV yesterday. And I was like, oh, Kim. Okay. I missed Kirk, though. I wanted to see Kirk yesterday, and I didn't leave the hotel in time. But I will say this.
Wait, Kirk who?
Franklin. Kirk Franklin was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kirk Franklin was there yesterday. I'll say this. It looked like people enjoyed themselves. I don't like festivals anyway. I need a seat. Like, I need a designated place that says Naima can go here, and nobody can move me out of the way. Mm. Or at least a designated area where I can be comfortable. Mm-hmm.
I don't let you bring chairs in there anymore.
You can bring blankets, but like, again, so many people, it's like, and there's people crossing, you know, around the field and shit. So you on a blanket, but you're not.
Niggas walking over you.
Yeah, it's a lot. And as a matter of fact, last time I went to Roots Picnic, I had a blanket. And for the last set, the closing set, which was the Roots, we kind of sat in like, there, it was like, there's like a hill. We kind of sat up on the little slope where we could still see the monitors. We were out of the rush of the crowd who was like trying to press up against shit. But I don't know. I need them to go back to one day. I don't know if it needs to be 2 days. They got to figure it out. Because a lot of people who've always gone, they said that some of the intimate, like, family feel was gone.
Okay. I've never been. I don't feel like the urge to go. So I'll just
went once and I'm good.
I watched on YouTube like I did Saturday and yesterday. I think that's about it, man. Y'all got anything else to talk about? Bro, you got something to talk about?
I think we talked about this a little bit, but we talked about the grilling.
Oh.
And how these niggas, man in the grill in a manly way. And I tweeted about that. And I referenced that it was like, yo, why don't people do this shit? And I was just like, yo, like, it's a lot of fucking work. And I think
Oh, yes.
And when I think what people took, what I said was that I didn't do it, right? But like, I do it because when you do that shit and when you host, it is an expression of love. It is an expression to the people who are coming to enjoy your time and enjoy your space. And like, clearly we can have someone cater, right? Like, you know, we can call a restaurant, have someone bring a bunch of shit and lay it out, and I don't have to get smoky. But that's not what my kids want. That's not what my nieces and nephews want. That's not what my sisters and my, you know, the people, they want my shit. They want Auntie Mona's shit. They want,
right.
They see that engagement. And but I do want to reiterate that it's work. And what I was really gonna get to was that you can't be cute and do the work.
That part.
It's not one or the other, nigga.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to come through dripping and you're trying to pick up some hoes, and you niggas is 40, like, ain't no hoes here, nigga. Ain't no ain't no bitches at the 3 o'clock bar.
Exactly. Exactly. Any chicks in here, any chicks you see here are probably with someone.
You don't have to worry about it because they'll be there.
Right.
Ain't nobody like.
Also, being able to get on the grill is the best way to get hoes. First of all, because we be hungry.
Yes, because I'm coming directly to you because I want my hot dog a certain way.
Hoes be hungry.
Can you make my little well done? Thank you.
I don't want mine all the way burnt.
Right.
Just call me back. So good.
Can you put some chicken to the side for me, please? Just for me. Listen, my complaint was Cheyenne had a cookout and my tweet on it went viral. These niggas didn't know how to grill. And I'm like, can you at least have the skill? And their thing was, well, why can't y'all do it? We know how to do it. Women know I can grill. I shouldn't have to. It
used to be a matter of personal pride for a man to be on the grill at the gym.
I'm like, when did that go away? Secondly, it was a house full of niggas. A house full of niggas. It was nobody so many could do that.
But that's what I'm saying.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was sorry. There was one person who already said before they came, they didn't want to be the designated griller because they're always the designated griller. Cool. We got it. They were like, worst case scenario, I'll get on if nobody else gets on. Great. Cheyenne's neighbor also was a griller, but they came in and they had brought sides and made lights and stuff. So we didn't want to tap them immediately. So now that's two people out of easily, there was more than 15 men at the house. I really think there were 20 at the peak. It took an hour to find somebody else to get on the grill because my boy was leaving who never planned to be on the grill. So it's like, I was amazed because I'm like cleaning chicken, I'm doing a slow bake on the chicken so that it doesn't take as long. I'm doing sides. I'm restocking the table. Everybody's asking me where shit is. I'm entertaining my guests who are there. And I was like, none of y'all can grill. Like, I'm going to have to get on the grill myself in order to get somebody to step up.
A lot of these niggas, it's a couple of things. Like, I remember, you know, back when I was young and, you know, my pops and them would grill outside in the park. First of all, like, it was morning. They'd go out there like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Like it was like they wasn't no fucking around. Like, with the cars,
when you guys would come to the crib for the big, big barbecue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bam, I'm starting that grill at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's ritual.
Because you got to get that certain heat and that certain kind of thing. So it was that. And then after those, you know, our elders, it became another level, which is like the Sean era, which is with guys would like really invest in a nice ass grill. That's a thing. Yo, I got the propane joint, blah, blah, blah. Well, I got the electric joint. Like it became a thing. Like you go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot on a Saturday, and you see niggas in like really looking at grills, like how much? Oh, this is on sale. I'm gonna buy this.
Right.
And it goes, like obviously it became a real thing, and you see people, you know, posting stuff on Facebook or whatever. Yeah, I grilled today.
But again, a point of pride, because I mean, yeah, exactly.
But what it is, a lot of these niggas are
looking like
fried.
A Spice Adams or look at somebody like that, like
A lot of these newer niggas are city-fied. And what I mean by that is they live in apartments. They, you know, just living they're living the brunch life. Right, you know what that entails, and they don't really cook. They order Postmates, they order DoorDash.
I also think niggas afraid to get dirty.
Grilling is dirty.
And that's why in my tweet I said you can't photo dump your IG pics and make sure you ain't fucking up the chicken, right?
Right.
Because. Nigga, it's work. Get your fat boy rag, okay? And I'm not talking, and let me also clarify too, because I saw a couple of little funny little statements and shit. I ain't talking about cooking for 10 niggas, okay?
No.
I know your grand, I know
we
your granddaddy.
We had 30 people, over 30 people. It's work.
Bam.
Over the course of the day, I think I've had like 40-some people.
When I've done the big joints, I'm cleaning, prepping
mm-hmm.
close to 100 pounds of meat.
Right.
Like that is a I got to go to the butcher. I got to cut that shit. I got to clean that shit. I got
to
season
it. The meat warehouse and all that
and
type of shit.
And I'm not saying that as a complaint because when I do it, it's something that I enjoy doing. I love to do it because I, you know, it's my family. It's my people.
Right. But you ain't doing that in the new polo shirt and some Jordan 3s. Like, that's right.
That's what, see, and my point is, a lot of the, it's not just that, Jeff. A lot of these, I'm gonna sound real, real old and country. A lot of these city-fied, sadiddy, school book learning niggas be afraid to get dirty.
Afraid to get dirty, but also, like, I said this on Twitter, because over the course of the conversation, let me first say, so this was, you guys probably said this, I muted y'all for half a second, I had to take a call, but this was a trending topic Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was talking about this shit. When I tweeted it, a bunch of little niggas with hurt feelings was all up in my comments, like, well, why can't you grill it? Why don't you do it? And if niggas said that women need to get their cooking skills up. Men been saying women need to get their cooking skills up for a decade straight on these social media. And it's not that women can't cook. They don't want to cook for your ass. However.
Yeah, it was like Kevin Samuel's whole point is that we need to be in the kitchen.
Y'all be talking about women doing basic life skills for you that you refuse to do for yourself.
For yourself, yeah.
I am talking about a general skill that is for the benefit of many, right? That, like, for you to be like, why shouldn't I do it? I thought y'all niggas wanted to be the men around the house. I thought women was doing too much. I thought y'all wanted to be able to do some shit. It's just the one thing I can pass off to y'all. Because let me tell you something. While I'm cleaning all that motherfucking chicken and seasoning that shit, and it's hot in that kitchen because I'm baking that shit, and I'm doing deviled eggs and asparagus and fucking making sure the drinks is good and replenishing of this and doing that and where's the trash bags and da-da-da. Because men who are on the grill, but Sean is one of the exceptions because he does everything. But most of the time, if you're on the grill, you're focused on the grill. Mm-hmm. There is still a whole lot of other shit that has to happen to make an event work, right? And some people actually take this philosophy that if you're on the grill, once the meat is done, your job is done for the night. You're chilling. And I understand that because it's a lot of work. And it's hot. And it's flames. And it's heat. And it's smoke. But there's other shit that needs to be done. So the rapidness with which niggas was just saying, well, y'all could just do that too. Bitch, then you
but do that too.
Niggas will come in your house ready.
What are you niggas going to do? But what are you niggas doing?
I feel like drinking. People started giving young people and young adults choices in the matter. Because I know me, like, did I want to peel and slice 23 dozen eggs and half fucking deviled eggs? Absolutely not. But my mom invited niggas over the next day, and that was part of it. I don't see anybody forcing little boys to stand by the grill anymore.
Xer's little cousins got to go play video games. We had to snap peas and fucking
we was washing greens and shit.
Yeah, we had
at the sink.
And again, I also think niggas want to be cute all the time.
And they don't have a sense of hospitality. They don't understand.
And they be spicy, okay? And they want to blow on the hookah, and they want to take pictures, and they want to, you know, they want to get their bad bitch portfolio going. They want to set their titties out, set their thighs out, and
ain't nobody making potato salad.
Ain't nobody.
Yeah, and out here cutting the grass, nigga.
and they just don't understand. On the host side, they don't understand the joy of hosting and actually wanting to take care to provide a good experience for everybody, right? Like, motherfuckers Venmo, like, sending Venmo requests to people for eating their food. Motherfuckers like you just people at your house and you nasty to them, then why'd you invite them over? And then on the flip side of that, people don't understand what it means to be a good guest. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And to, like, bring something to offer.
Don't walk in empty handed.
And not like a bottle of Henny.
Yeah, like it's like, we got 16 bottles of Hennessy, nigga. Like, I don't
need a bottle that's 40
pounds of ice, nigga.
Exactly. Literally, yeah.
These motherfuckers take their bottles back.
Go get all the cups.
People take their bottles back. Like, I'm going to bring my bottle, and if my bottle's still there when I leave, I'm going to take it. The fuck is that?
No.
Let your shit match the food quality, nigga. Yeah. Don't be coming to my crib with them fucking lemon limes. You keep them shit in that Corolla you came in with.
The cola
Mr.
joints.
Mr. Thunder.
Right.
Fuck out.
This is what I learned.
Right house, motherfucker.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. When I went to Kentucky last
Cheyenne's
time.
House. I'm sorry. Let me say one more thing, Jeff. Now I'm going to leave. The kitchen at Cheyenne's house was like the old people corner. It was like me, mom, Eric, my friends were over there, my boys who had come, my other friends who live in D.C. So we were watching all of this shit. Because these people are like, Shy's 36, some of these folks were younger because some of her neos were there. And there was a lot of like friend of a friend. There was like a 2-hour stretch where there was a lot of like friend of a friend shit happening. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know who these, like, it got real crunk in there at a point, like super like hype. Cause she also had hookah on the deck. We had the bar right by the door to the deck. And I'm at the kitchen because it's an open floor plan. So from the kitchen, I could see dining room table, living room, bars right in front of me, decks right to my left. So I'm watching everything. And at one point, like these five gigantic, look like they play on somebody, some kind of team, Negroes walked in the house with two women. And they all had individual bottles of beer. And they had one bottle of tequila that they drank amongst themselves. Wow. They didn't ask whose house it was. They didn't introduce themselves and posted up by the rest of the food, by the bar. Like one of them almost pushed my mama out the way. She was making a plate to go. And that's why it caught my attention. Cause I was like, the fuck they doing? My mother was the only person over like 50 in the whole house, right? Over 46. She was the only person older than me in the house. Aside from Eric. So I'm like, what are you doing? And I saw his boy stop him. So then I'm like, I asked Cheyenne, do you know them? She's like, I don't know who they are. And she's like, but don't say nothing because everybody's eating. It's fine. I'm like, nah, they're being.
Nah, you got to say something.
Like, they put, when she finally said something to them was when they got in a circle. Like, and they really helped, like, they really acted like they were on school. They got in a circle amongst themselves just to talk to each other. They weren't interacting with other niggas, nothing. And if you came in from outside the deck and you walked through their circle, they were like, oh, you got to take a shot of Cheyenne's liquor. So she was like, what y'all not gonna do is be playing drinking games with my, like, so then she came over and they were, and she was like, I'm Cheyenne. And they were like, yeah, yeah, okay. And she was like, this is my house. And they're like, oh, okay, blah, blah. And the funny thing is, like, shortly after that, they left. So I guess they felt away. But I'm just like, who does this? Who comes to a house, it's a stranger's house. I had chicken stash on the stove. These motherfuckers came to the stove. I was like, this is private chicken. The public chicken is over there. You know what I mean? I'm just like,
no, but even like, even bigger than that, like, who invited them? Like, if I'm going to brother's house, I'm like, right. I'm like, bro, I'll come to the crib. You know, I might bring, you know, a little whatever. But like, I'm not like, yo, I'm bringing six. I'm telling 16 people about your shit. Yeah. Like, who the fuck does that? Like, nigga, like,
but I realized
like,
that nobody...
I got invited and I'm going. And I'm not, that's it. Like, I'm not bringing 80 people. That,
they don't have that code anymore. Like, you don't, like, this ain't a park, nigga. This somebody's home.
No etiquette, no protocol, yeah. No sense of being connected. And yeah, I mean, and I don't want to be the dead horse with this shit, but, like, the hosting thing, man, you're right. Being a good guest, coming into people's home. Like, the fact that you made it that far without knowing who the homeowner is a problem. Me, yeah. Because if my man is saying, yo, my nigga, we good, come through, like, yo, first of all, we stopping and we bringing something. Absolutely. And second of all, how did you get here, nigga? Introduce me, don't have me over here standing in the corner, looking, you know what I'm crazy. Saying? Like, I'm looking crazy, like I'm on fucking timeout, nigga, because I don't know nobody. And like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know who the fuck is the owner of the house.
Yeah, I'm just here. You know what I'm saying?
Then, just here, so nigga, eating.
And I also felt like they weren't used, that people weren't used to actually being. We put out a lot of food. Like, I think we did like 3 rounds of food, and it was chicken, sausage, hot dogs, hamburgers. And we seasoned everything. So I think some motherfuckers just be cooking, but not like for real. And Cheyenne said she kept getting compliments on the food. But I don't think motherfuckers have really been to a well-stocked, well-functioning, like the food is consistent. Everything's out, fucking watermelon slicing out. Fucking deviled eggs, baked beans, coleslaw, pasta salad, chip, like everything's out and it's not like running out. You got to wait for an hour. The food was going. I really don't think people were used to it. They didn't know how to act. Like niggas lost their minds. I was like, we're not been nowhere.
I would tell Cheyenne, don't do one again for a while. Fuck them niggas.
Don't make that the spot.
Because the next time.
On the flip side, her shit was legendary.
But hold on. If you do July 4th, it's going to be more niggas.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to do
Labor Day, it'll be more niggas.
Yes, here's what niggas I will niggas. Say.
Niggas if tell niggas, niggas joint. Tell niggas, and then the niggas in the circle, they gonna tell niggas, and then all of a sudden it's gonna be.
But what's gonna happen? People there. But what's gonna happen is this: two things. First thing is, I don't do clubs. Picked up my tweet, so anybody who was at her house knows that I was talking shit about their ass. Secondly, if she does another joint and I'm there, I'm changing shit at the door. Like, who you with? And I'm also going to tell her, because I say this about Boogie Oki, because one year people started just inviting random people to Boogie Oki. I'd be like, if you've been here before, you can invite somebody. If this is your first time coming, don't invite nobody else without telling me. Like, she's going to have to put that rule in. Like,
because I'm telling you, that crowd is double or triple.
Courtesy, though. Like, come on.
Yeah, like
well, I guess it's not common no more.
I wouldn't even want to go if I don't know the person. Like, I'm like, I'm good.
Though. I'm definitely not rolling up with 80,000 people. Like, the fuck is that? That's so
I feel like being in the house for 2 years. Being in the house for 2 years has ruined everybody's manners, apparently.
Yeah.
I just think they weren't taught differently. It's like in that span of 2 years, all of a sudden it was time for them to be on the other side of some adult shit and they weren't ready. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But I was very puzzled because I wasn't acting like that at their age. I knew better. So
niggas don't know better. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I need everybody to get together.
Yeah, piece of Cheyenne and don't do a cookout on July 4th because the niggas gonna come tear your house up. You know what I'm saying?
Not to end on a really bad note, but I do have and RIP, my aunt passed away on Tuesday. My mom's baby sister, who was just, speaking of cookouts, like, when she came, shit turned up. So, definitely gonna be missed. And
She was the one, like, what time BB getting here?
She was the cool auntie that's gonna, like, take the walk with you in between plates at Christmas dinner and, a sleeve of red cups. So we knew what was up in the trunk of her car. Like,
okay,
that's my auntie. So,
well, peace out, BB.
Yeah, peace out. That's easy.
You know. Okay, so we're gonna wrap it up on that note. Yeah, that's it. Ain't no more.
Ain't no more.
Right. Hot out here. Shit. Stay cool.
Yeah, it's summertime for real now.
Yeah, we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.